Well, I'm so glad all of you are here this morning. This is the last day, as you know, of the Christmas season, the 12th day of Christmas, and that's it. That's why we still have all the Christmas decorations up, and we've sung a few Christmas things. And I want to bring one thing forward still, kind of in the Christmas flow this morning, sharing with you what it means to worship this child and the choice that is before us when that happens. About a year ago, I was at one of our seminaries in Pittsburgh, and I was taking a short three-day seminar on writing songs for worship. It was really very, very helpful. And I knew before going in that one of the sessions was going to be that you could bring one of your songs, and you could sit down with one of the instructors, and they could go over it and give you some help and critique and so forth. So I had one all picked out. In fact, we've sung it here since then. It's called Seek My Face. I think we're going to sing it pretty soon. And I had that because I had things about that song. I just hadn't decided what I wanted to do. You know, do you go up or do you go down here? Do you end the bridge this way or that way? I just don't know. And that's, well, so here's some guys who probably know. And as we were going along in the seminar, which was quite excellent, quite helpful, I felt the presence of the Spirit of God. We had some worship times. I felt God wanted to do some things with me, and it became stronger and stronger. I felt God wanted me to listen to Him. So I didn't sign up for my spot in that part of the seminar, and I just kind of wandered around trying to pay attention to God. Now, I know some of that's probably happened to some of you. I know some of you have had that kind of experience. But that was a complete surprise to me. I'm thinking, well, here I am at a workshop about writing songs for worship, and I could take the step where I could improve specifically, and here's God interrupting me from getting to try to do this. What is going on? Well, that happens over and over again, different ways and different times, different things. God will just surprise you. It just come and surprise you. In fact, for 8 years, Carol and I lived in a town called Surprise, Arizona. It's just the way that it is. And, you know, another surprise here in the gospel reading today, with the Magi showing up at the manger. The surprising thing, which you could just miss, is that Jewish shepherds and Gentile Arab magistrates are worshiping the same king. That's a total surprise, even today. And back then it would have been as well. But that's what God does. God will surprise us. He will just break in when we're not expecting it. In fact, when we're expecting the opposite, he will come without any consultation or warning. Just bam, right there, breaking in into any circumstance, any wilderness, anything at all, any situation, God will just be there, show up, get your attention. Aren't you glad you weren't Saul of Tarsus the way he did it with him? You remember that? Knocked him off his horse in the middle of the day. Struck him blind for 3 days. Surprised him, got his attention. This is just the matter of course. This is the regular way that God works. This is the thing that you can expect from God. The normal thing from God is that God will surprise you. He'll just break in and surprise you. And go against the things that you may not have even wanted to do. Okay, is everybody all right? I'm not convinced, but I'm going to go on. All right. When this happens, we have two basic choices. There's the choice of Herod, who wanted nothing to do with what God was doing, or the choice of the Magi, who wanted everything to do and put aside everything so that they could join in with God and what God was doing. Those are the two choices. Now, when we look at Herod, what we see with Herod is this. He gets word, as we saw from the Magi, that the king of the Jews had been born and they came to worship him. And so Herod, of course, tells him, oh, well, you know, when, as soon as you find out, let me know so I can go worship him too. What he means is, I don't want any other king but me. There is to be no other king but me. There is no rival of any kind for any reason at any time at all, ever. And what he had planned to do, as you know, was to kill the baby boys 2 years old and younger so that there'd be absolutely no rival king at all. It was all Herod all the time and no one else. Total, total loyalty. Or nothing. Not even from God. Not even with God. And then there's the Magi. And the Magi, who were Arabs. They were Arabs. They came from Arabia. Which, you know, in those days, that was a long way. They came a long, long way to Bethlehem. And they were well-to-do. They were magistrates of some kind, kings, wise men, whatever it was. They had a lot going on, and they were able to bring these gifts. And they came. They put aside everything. They wanted to worship Jesus. They wanted to give him gifts that showed how much they wanted to worship him. They wanted to give their lives to him. They wanted to say to Jesus, "You can surprise us anytime you want. We want to go with you." And, of course, they brought the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. Very symbolic, by the way. Symbolic for us, too. And you can pick up the symbolism in the first hymn we sang today, We Three Kings. If you look at the third verse, you see, born a king of Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. Gold was the symbol of Jesus being a king. Second verse, frankincense to offer of I, incense owns a deity high. The frankincense showed that Jesus was their God. Jesus is God. And then myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in a stone-cold tomb. It was the symbol of his death and resurrection. Myrrh was used at the time of burial. Very odd thing to bring to a newborn. But that's what it symbolized. So here we have God is king, God is God, you know, Jesus is king, Jesus is God, and Jesus is Savior, all in these three gifts. And that's what the Magi were saying, that they were worshiping. We were worshiping you, Jesus, because you are our king, you are our God, you are our Savior, and that we want to give everything over to that. That's the choice that we have too. Especially when God surprises us, especially when God breaks in and does something that we didn't expect, think of, imagine, dream of, read about, study, hear about in church, or think of on our own in one way or another, and God breaks in and just does that, whatever it is. You can say, forget it, or you can say, I'm all in. Everybody still okay? Oh, good, good. We're coming along a little further. That was nice. Now, you see, I think the question that arises with all this is what's going on? Why does God operate this way? What is God trying to do by breaking in and surprising us with things like this? I think this is the bottom line. We are not in charge of the goals of our spiritual life. God is. To follow Jesus means that you've put God in charge of forming your spiritual life. You know, for us, there's not something like, these are my spiritual goals for 2020. These are the things I would like to do this year in my spiritual life. And I've sat down and considered them, and I've looked at things, and I've seen where maybe I could improve in this or that. You know, I'd like to read, 20 verses a day of the Bible. I would like to say my prayers each morning. whatever it is. To follow Jesus means we are no longer in charge of setting those goals. But God is. And when God breaks in with a surprise, what is being said is, I am forming you to be like me. Are you still okay? Good, good. Huh? Now, you may have to go and just rip up those spiritual resolutions you made. If you did, that'd be a great step on your part. The way in with Jesus is the way of death and resurrection. And part of what dies for us is that death of how we want to be in charge. He's in charge. Jesus is in charge. Do you remember that story from the scriptures? It's a parallel. And Jesus says, it's a story about the servants. They all worked all day. And then the master comes home and sits down and says, and they're hungry and they want to eat. And the master says, all right, now, all of you, go get me something to eat. Then, after I'm done, you can sit down and have something to eat. Is that your picture of Jesus? It's in the Bible. Why would he do that? Because he is in charge of forming us to be like him. Now, there'll probably be some things coming along which are complete surprises like that, in which Jesus just breaks in and says, this is what I'm going to do. And that's where you have the choice. Because what you are in charge of is the way you respond to Jesus. And when Jesus says, this is what I'm going to do, then the question is, what are you going to do? And that will be the question every single time. Now, I think Jesus will keep with you. His promise is, I will never leave you or forsake you. And let's just say that there's a little bad blood between you and somebody else, and Jesus kind of breaks in. And you get the picture that Jesus wants you to forgive that person. Now, you're going to be allowed to say, Jesus, you mean you want me to forgive that person? At which time, Jesus, I can assure you, I can guarantee you, he will say, yes, I want you to forgive that person. It's just breaking in. And you have the choice to take the grace that is sufficient for forgiving from God, or running in your own and never giving it up, never forgiving. See, that's how it works. There's thousands of examples of this. You're probably thinking of some right now. You may be even thinking of some places in your life where you just don't want Jesus to break in, surprise you with anything. You want to keep that to yourself. That's yours, nobody else's. It does not become a gift to God, no matter how much God he is. It's yours, not God's. Or it's all God's. All of it. Without any exception. The challenge for us is this. It's a daily challenge. The big one is that we give up being in charge of our own spiritual life. That's the big one. Daily, the challenge is this. Where do you get the sense that God is breaking in? Is God breaking in as your king? Does God want some area of your life where you have said, I'm not going to give you control of that? Is God breaking in as your God? Where there might be some part where you want to generate the creativity and you want to generate the life, but that'll come from God. I mean, you have the choice to say, no, that's mine. Or you can say, it's all yours. Or is he breaking in as your Savior? Just surprising you with something. Where you say, wait a minute, Jesus. I wanted to handle that myself. I wanted to make up for that sin by myself. I did the wrong thing, and I want to be able to pay for it on my own. You know, I pay all my debts, Jesus, and this one I particularly wanted to pay for. Does he surprise you with that? These magi are three very challenging people with what they brought. And that's what we can bring. That's our worship of him, just as they worshiped him. Every act of worship that springs from the Spirit of God says, in every area of my life, you are my king and you are my God. And you are my Savior. Is there a step coming to your mind right now that Jesus wants you to take into one of those areas? Is there one area in particular that Jesus is focusing on with you? And he says, I want you to take this step. That might even be a complete surprise to you this morning. It's yours to take. The challenge for us this week is this. Will the step you take be one that says, no, it's mine? Or will it be, yes, it's all yours? Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the surprising ways you deal with us. We thank you that you are transforming us into your likeness. And we know that your love for us and that will be perfect in every way. We ask that you would give us hearts that are turned towards you, and that we would recognize when you are drawing us to yourself and transforming us to be like you, and that we would walk in that all of our days. For the glory of your name. Amen.